And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. On the break, we were listening to T-Ace, and those tracks were Return of Rap, Watch Me, and Smoke With Me.
That's right.
What is that?
That's what them songs is about.
Not that. What is that voice?
Oh, that's my down with it voice.
Is that your down with it voice?
That's my down with it voice.
Is it?
That's right.
Is that your stereotypical black voice?
Yes, that most certainly is, and I bet there's a lot of brothers out there that know what I'm coming from.
That sounds like you're like 70s, like...
That's where it's at.
Slow jams.
That's what that was, a lot of that stuff, man. That's where I'm getting that from. You can feel the vibe on that.
I can also hear the laryngitis on that.
No, that's the
bronchitis.
That's the bronchitis.
The bronchitis?
That's the bronchitis.
So really, it's an uneducated black DJ? Is it really? You are a racist dick, which leads right into what we're about to talk. You most certainly are.
Oh, nice. See, I did that. I made that shot. I'm in that mode.
Joe just threw his disgusting snot rag into the garbage pail, and he
right,
actually got
a nice shot. Not because I was in the mood. I feel it so making that shot.
Number to call in 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. Joe, did you watch Tom and Jerry growing up?
Yeah, most certainly did.
Oh, wow. Joe's back.
Oh, yes.
we don't have that stupid voice now. What a nice surprise.
Yeah.
First time it's been good to have you back.
Yeah. You got no choices. No other pips ain't here.
Yeah.
I'm the cavalry. Hi.
It's like when F Troop shows up.
Exactly.
Really? This is the best we could do? Yeah. Really, Corporal Agard?
Boy, you know your old references. Boy, I
used to love F Troop.
F Troop ruled.
Yeah. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that old show.
Yes.
Talk about another old show. So Tom and Jerry. So they just went on iTunes. I guess that's what just happened. So iTunes actually put out a warning about Tom and Jerry. It says it contains some ethnic and racial prejudices that were once commonplace in American society. Characters like Mammy Two Shoes. We're wrong then and are wrong today. I'm sorry, that's just funny that there was a character called Mammy Two Shoes.
And the reason it's funny, he just didn't give a shit.
Because it was a different time period. But yeah, I mean, you know, to now you're not going to name a character Nicky. You're not going to do that because people are sensitive and they want to get their stuff on the air. And that's just of all. You shouldn't name a character that. Oh wow! Look at the Adventures of Kikey Kenny. Nobody wants to see that. Although I will relate,
except maybe Palestinians.
They don't want to see them. They don't want to see Kikey Kenny doing well. I can assure you.
Palestinians were making their own cartoons. Like
they were
Semitic cartoons.
They were with Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
This just happened, a little bit before you showed up. My daughter comes home with some homework. She's got these word problems, reasoning problems. So it's math.
Right.
So it says Sun Yi comes up with this number.
Sun Yi.
The character's name is Sun Yi.
Yeah, why is oh, what the hell?
I know, the guy.
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Boy,
yeah.
Are we quick tonight. Jesus Christ.
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that until Dave Harris brought it up, by the way.
Oh, Dave.
But I hadn't even thought about that. But why is Sun Yi right, and what is the reasoning behind it?
So why is Sun Yi right? Why Mia Farrow isn't talking to the both of them?
So I gave my – I helped my daughter answer this correctly with the reasoning.
Correctly.
Shut up, you. So
either you're tired or you're calling me a racist.
Both. But then I got to thinking because Sun Yi got it wrong. I go – and I posted on my Facebook, well, of course this is unreasonable. She's Asian, and Asians are very good with math.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, really, Sun Yi's the best character you could come up with, and you're going to make her terrible at math? Yeah. What, there's a Polish Pete running around that you could do this with? Peter Putski.
Peter Putski.
It's like, really, is that what to be multicultural, we're making it Sun Yi?
You have to take people that are that a stereotype of them is actually complimentary,
yes,
and then make them look idiot, like they're idiots,
yeah,
so the stereotype is not perpetuated.
Everybody knows you. You copy off the Asian kid.
That's reverse discrimination, focusing back on discrimination.
Okay. I don't know what that was, but sure. Sure, sure, Chrissy Snow. It makes sense. You just don't know how she got there.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the racism at hand. The Tom and Jerry every episodes. I mean, looking back, I mean, would you agree that there were elements in Tom and Jerry that were racist?
I didn't notice it like overtly.
You didn't notice it as a kid.
You did. Well, you did. You did when you. Not as much as sometimes with the Little Rascals.
And I remember the original Tom and Jerry's were created in the 40s and 50s,
right.
And then they made some more in the
70s. I mean, they had the maid of the house that they used to run around and destroy was a black maid.
Mammy Two Shoes?
A Mammy Two Shoes.
Who they only showed her face once.
You want to know something? Now I know why they got that, because they would just show the black feet.
Yeah.
Yelling and hollering, Mammy Two Shoes. God, is that horrible? They didn't, you know, it's not like the maid.
No.
They had a Mammy Two Shoes.
No, they had to make sure you got that they were being racist pricks.
And that's why it's so horrible, because they had to make sure. You know, just say, they just couldn't put the maid.
No.
No, Mammy, where even if it was like black feet. In like shoes and stuff. Oh, I guess you're assuming that all the maids were black back then. Well, we're not assuming. They just called her Mammy Two Shoes. They're helping you along.
They couldn't even give her a name like Margaret the Maid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't even do that. Mammy Two Shoes. She is not worthy of a real human name. She is known by her feet.
You couldn't.
And she was a well-off maid because she had not one but two shoes, Joe.
And the funny thing is, if we got an argument right now and you go, well, I think that's racism, you know, racism. And I'm sitting here and going, you're wrong. You're really jumping the gun.
I actually thought we might go that route.
We can't, though. They named the woman Mammy Two Shoes. What defense would I have possibly on this?
Well, in those days, maybe Mammy or Two Shoes wasn't offensive.
I guess.
It did not strike me as racist as a kid.
No. Because you didn't read the credits.
No, but kids don't see race.
No.
My daughter doesn't see race.
Yeah. Now look, the Little Rascals. Bill Cosby came out and said that the Little Rascals were very offensive to black people. I watched all the Little Rascals. Would he cut it out? And I agree with a lot of stuff Bill Cosby says, but would you cut it out? He's overreacting. I went out years ago and I rented the Little Rascals episodes and I was watching them. Bill's got a point.
Yeah, when you look back on
it. You didn't notice
it. Kids don't know.
No, they don't. They don't notice it.
Because kids don't see race. They just say, all right, this is the character.
The kids, the way kids pick up race and prejudice and stuff like this is from their parents.
From the parents or kids at school.
From the parents or the kids at school. You don't, if there was none of that element, you would never know. I mean, look at kindergarten children play.
Okay. I do. Yeah.
It's hot. Yeah. Uncle Paul.
Hang on those monkey bars. Yeah. Yeah. Is your little shirt going up?
I mean, look at little kids play, like little 3-year-olds and stuff like that. They don't care what looks like what. There's none of that.
You're right. There's none.
And they just get poisoned as they grow up by parents, society, whatever.
You're absolutely right. I mean, my kid, my daughter, who's going to be 8 in a few days, you know, she is friends of every ethnicity, and yeah. I think that's great.
And your job as a parent is to
stop that.
Well, it was our parents' job to stop that.
Well, my parents weren't racist, but I can see how yours might be.
Yes, it was our parents' job to stop that.
Don't go over that house. They have different food.
I remember there was a make a Fresh Air Fund kid.
You almost did another Make-A-Wish reference. I wish I was white. Yeah.
Oh, Billy, you'll be white someday. But there was a Fresh Air Fund kid that was staying at my neighbor's house who was black. And my mom was like, lock the doors. Be careful.
That's bad parenting. That's terrible. She introduced that into your brain.
Oh, of course.
To make them think. It's interesting because that's introduced that they're different and somewhat not of you.
Make sure you lock the doors.
Now I do.
There's one of them visiting next door.
Now I do remember as a kid driving through New York City.
Yeah,
and I don't remember what part of New York City, but New York City. Right. And the same thing is, Matt, lock the doors.
Yeah.
But that was during the squeegee times when they would just, you know, come up to your stupid car when you're parked and wash your windows with piss water, which nobody wants.
Yeah, I know. I used to when I was, and that was back like in during the 80s, early 90s, when I was like 88, 89, driving a truck in the city. and they come up and wash. And you're like, you know, what are you going to say to the guy? The guy probably has a rock or something. He's going to pelt you in the head.
You got to give him
so
the buck.
Stupid wash the window.
Giuliani got rid of all that.
I know.
Good job, Giuliani. Yep. But he's creating unemployment. They were gainfully employed squeegee
people.
No,
they were a federal case.
I don't know if they were a federal case.
They were a problem.
So I guess the question is, what do you think of these warnings being added?
If you're going to have... in the way things are now,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to... As long as they're showing them and they put a warning out,
so you don't have a problem with the warning?
No. You know why? I'd rather have a warning than having them edited.
Well, they didn't show an episode or two. Like, a couple of the episodes aren't running anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think Hanna-Barbera got called on the carpet for those back in the 70s when they wanted them syndicated and everything. That's why they had to write some new episodes, because there was like a couple like overtly, even in the 70s when you had stupid Good Times going and everything. It's like, no, there's upward mobility. Stop that. We can't have Mammy Two Shoes.
Yeah, if you're going to have, because you're going to, you know why they should have that? Because you're going to see, because times changed. And you're going to see things in those cartoons. I mean, when we played those commercials that one time, you know, there were things in those commercials you could never run now.
I think that's an okay thing. I think that's okay that we evolve and we, you know, we get smarter and realize that's not cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have a problem. Yeah, you know. It.
But here's the thing. Like, my kid just started watching Tom and Jerry within the past year or so. It's on the Cartoon Network. I think it's the newer ones. But they show the older ones, too. I walked by and there was that. And... her watching Tom and Jerry, racism never came into my mind. It was always like the violence, because those were very violent cartoons.
Oh, I mean,
the cat's going to get it.
Railed with a shovel.
Yeah.
It's so damn funny.
They were. But the racism never crossed into my mind.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put the warning about race in there, because I guess there were some where there was, because, you know, there would be sexist content in there where they'd be oogling a female cat or whatever. I remember, like, the male cats were trying to get with Tom and his arch enemy, the other cat, were trying to get with
and
the female.
He wailed with a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that feeling sometimes as of late.
Well, I think in that episode the cat actually went on to play NFL football. Not really sure.
He got suspended, yeah, though. And apparently the NFL didn't see the tape.
But I mean, if you're gonna put the racist element, warn about that. Yeah. Shouldn't they warn about the sexist content and that they're smoking in there? Because in all these cartoons, you know, the old ones, because even the old shows, everybody's smoking openly and everything.
Yeah, I don't know how crazy you can get. Oh, Trucker Tom is working on his open mic set. If Buckwheat could convert to Islam, would he be named Karima Wheat? All right.
You know, Tom, here's the thing about comedy. You gotta get off on the big laugh. You did that sooner. Yeah, I mean, the first segment, you had a couple of good ones. But now you're just a hack.
You know, this is like his middle set before the headliner comes on. He's got to do a quick two. This is Tom doing a quick two.
Oh, you mean it didn't make the tight 10? Oh,
right. So this is the tight 10. So I got to go up and do a quick two. And this is the quick two.
The headliner's taking a piss, and now he's got to do extra material that he hasn't really worked out yet.
The headliner wants to take it. Go on. You know, I'm going to bring you right up. No, go on and do a quick two.
Yeah, the feature act did really well. Could you do some time?
Could you go on and do a quick two?
All right, fine. We'll let it slide under that rationale. You were asked.
He's had a rough day, too. So we're going to let you slide. There's no song and stuff like that. But you got to get back to quality right now.
Yeah, otherwise Convoy's only a click away. Can't have that. But you know what? I think if you're going to... I think the thing that you really got to warn about with these cartoons is the violence. They're much more violent than today's cartoons.
Absolutely.
I mean, I really think that you should warn about... I have no problem with warnings. You know, it's funny. You know, in the 80s or early 90s when... whatchamacallit? The guy was Al Gore's wife, Tipper Gore.
Oh, Tipper Gore.
When she, you know, the whole big thing was warnings on music.
Yeah.
You're looking back. What the hell's the big deal?
There was none.
Well, but the rock star, everyone, the rockers, you know, Dee Snider was there.
Because the whole thing about it was, is that she was this moralist that wanted moral values for the kids, and he wanted everything censored.
But it wasn't censored. Ultimately, it was just a warning. Put a warning that there's... That's what we have today.
But it was so funny because it actually helped sell the albums.
It did, because kids wanted to see it.
You know, and also, another thing is that she couldn't wait to call these burnt-out rock musicians on the carpet And Frank Zappa spoke eloquently. Alice Cooper spoke eloquently. Dee Snider spoke eloquently. John Denver, of all people.
In between Grape Nuts commercials?
Came out and spoke against what she was doing. So she really wound up with egg on her face like that.
Yeah, but I remember at the time, it was like, you can't put warnings on music. That was their issue.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, I have no problems with warnings.
No.
It's fine that I know what's in here, so I can make an educated decision.
It's kind of cool because if you see a Tom and Jerry cartoon, it says violence and racial stereotype.
Now we want to watch.
Now you want to watch. It was like when you would get, you know, like when you go look at an album, like when albums were in the stores,
yeah.
And you go look at them and you see the parental warnings, and you knew to get the ones that with the parental warnings because they'd be cursing and chicks and stuff like that. So that was always a good thing. It backfired on them. It backfired on them, you know, and it's still, and you know, I even allude to it now. You know, it's like with the N word and the degradation of women and stuff like that. I mean, rap music is very big, and I talk about in my act with this Huckleberry Finn has the N word in there, and the parents and teachers want the word to come out of the book, but Mark Twain put it in the book to show how hurtful and mean that word is. But what the parents want that out of it, but to let them listen to rap music where it's glorified.
You're right.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You're not using, you know, that's the whole thing with this political correctness thing. Basically, people that are for such political correctness are just not looking at context. They're not looking at, you know, how the words are and how different they are and how they're not hurtful in certain situations. Mm-hmm. They're actually educational to show the point of the degradation in certain things. I had a whole, I don't know if I mentioned on the show, I had a whole talk about that with Adam Ferrara when we were working together. We were just going over what you should go on a demo or not. And he's telling, you know, he was saying, he goes, a lot of times now that the comedy bookers are young kids that are very sensitive towards stuff. And I was telling him about certain...
Everybody's sensitive. Everybody's a special.
But the thing is, you've seen my act. Certain things in my act, I explain how we need to think about it and how it's not, you know.
Yeah, no, you hedge your bet from what you truly think. You definitely do in your act.
Well,
you present it in a way where you kind of give yourself an excuse to say the things, which is fine.
But an explanation why and a definition why. But the thing about it is that we're getting to a point where people don't even look at that and just go, well, that's hate speech. No, it's not hate speech. It's showing the hypocrisy of certain situations where we use words. But getting back to the other thing is like when you mark music explicit.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to buy it. Kids are going to want it. If you show the cartoons on, I do think it's a good idea if you put violence and maybe racial stereotypes, however you want to phrase it, on cartoons. If you're a parent, you know, and as a parent, you might not realize. I mean, we just had a discussion.
I didn't even think about it.
And like I said, neither did I. So as a parent, if you watch the stuff now, you're going, wow, I really didn't pick up on that stuff. So maybe you need to see that.
I don't think... my daughter, who's about to be 8, I don't think she would pick up on the racial stereotypes. Because those racial stereotypes are from, like, the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I mean, you don't even pick up on that they're lampooning black people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a silly character now, I think.
You know what, though? I'm not a parent, but I know what I would be like as a parent, and I would be very... I think it'd be overprotective,
mm-hmm.
but I would question them to think and understand every step that they go.
You mean kind of like what we do on this show with you?
Yes.
Okay.
But I would, you know, if there was a certain situation that would come up, I would ask them to think about it.
You want them to be logical. You want them to think for themselves.
I want them to think for themselves. Now, in the case of the cartoons like that, I would want to go through the cartoons, and I might be self-conscious of my kids watching that.
My wife has been traditionally very guarded over what she watches. My daughter watches. Like, she didn't want to watch Bugs Bunny and all that stuff when she was younger.
Right.
You know, stuff that we grew up on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, we're watching Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry and everything.
And the funny thing is, I have memories.
But those cartoons were meant for adults.
But the thing is, I used to remember sitting there laughing like hell with my father watching it.
Right.
You know?
It's
and my old man's kicking back watching, eating Cheez-Its. He can give a shit less what I'm watching, you know?
This is cinema.
Yeah. Exactly.
But these cartoons were actually run before movies. I mean, they were as much for adults as they were for kids. Like Now, we won't let my kid watch Family Guy. Or South Park.
No,
or Simpsons.
You can't.
But you know what? In 30 years from now, I bet you kids will be watching that.
Of course, because they're adults.
No, No, I'm saying like kids that are eight.
Oh.
Will be eight. Kids that are eight and 30 years from now will be watching it because we just get more and more desensitized.
Yeah, I guess so. Just for right now, for present day.
No, now I don't let my daughter.
You can't. Yeah.
No, she comes in and watches Family Guy. Me and the wife. It's like, all right, now we have to hit pause.
Yeah,
you can't watch that.
No.
So another cartoon character from our youth and people's youth older than us was in the news. A film critic. I guess he's an expert on films. He said Bugs Bunny may be Jewish. He said Bugs Bunny was created by a Jewish producer. Lived in a Jewish neighborhood, had a distinctly New York/Jewish accent, and uses his wit and a sense of humor to avoid all attempts to eliminate him. The very voice of Bugs Bunny was done by, of course, Jewish actor Mel Blanc. Stern's, the guy's name was Stern who did the research.
Hoo-hoo Robin.
Okay. Really? Really? Okay.
I read the Bugs Bunny, Robin.
A lot of impressions tonight. Stern's exhaustive study even included the findings of one specific cartoon episode in which Bugs Bunny flashes back to his childhood. The New York neighborhood Bugs grew up in is teeming with obviously Jewish characters. Do you remember this?
Yes.
You do remember. Okay. Such as ultra-Orthodox Jews and other stereotypically Eastern European figures from the turn of the 20th century. You remember that?
Yes.
So, all right. Well, I don't remember, but as a kid, did you think, wow, Bugs Bunny's Jewish?
No, not really.
No, I don't think kids associate religion.
I knew he was from New York. I knew he was a rabbit from New York.
Did you, Joe?
Yes. A hair grows up in Brooklyn.
Is that what the episode was?
It was, yeah.
Did you know that? Or you Googled it and you just watched
TV? No, I know Bugs Bunny.
All right, Joe. I guess you could put that on your resume.
You know, not
anything else we should know about you, Mr. Curry?
Well, proud I do know. Proud to be an asshole.
Well, we saw that from your references. Special skills. I know Bugs Bunny.
I had a friend of mine that's looking for work, and I go, so what experience you have? I know computers like a motherfucker. I go, you might want to rephrase that on the resume.
You might want to clean it up a bit. But you didn't think he was Jewish?
No.
I didn't think he was Jewish.
No.
Did you ever wonder about the religion of cartoon characters that you were watching?
No, except for Davy and Goliath.
Yeah, that's a Christian cartoon. I never knew that.
You never knew Davy and Goliath was Christian?
I didn't watch it that much, but no.
Oh, it was all about God and stuff like that.
Well, David. God, but he's God to everybody.
I know, but God, it was a Christian show, and there was always a message about God. We always used to laugh that, like, if it was a show about God, that, you know, a talking dog's the sign of the devil.
Well, how old were you when you were laughing with your friends about that?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's who we're talking about.
Yeah. When we started laughing about it, I think I started goofing on with my friend Bones when we were about maybe 11. But when
all
we
right,
really
so that's
started,
still pretty young.
When we started really ranking on it was probably around 15. All right, well, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, now you're too old for it. You're being a dick.
Because we always question it. It's like the dog talks. The talking dog is the sign of the devil. So we go kill Sally, Davey. Kill that.
Didn't Saturday Night Live used to do sketches with that or something?
They probably did. They did the Gumby thing, which was a Clokey production. Art Clokey did all that stuff. He did Gumby. He did Davy and Goliath.
Really, all that great animation?
Yeah.
All that great claymation?
Look, I'm not calling a Michelangelo.
Well, I mean, the way you presented it, like, we should bow.
It's the greatest work since the Sistine Chapel, but I'm telling you, I'm just telling you the guy did it, for good or bad or whatever.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, a little knowledge.
Might want to put that on the resume, too.
Boy, I'm coming up with a lot of stuff from the who gives a shit department.
You certainly are. At least you know where to file it.
Yeah. Learned a lot about Venice lately.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. So that was the one quote unquote cartoon, even though it wasn't a cartoon. Actually, I don't know what it was.
It was an anime. You would say it was an anime, so live action animation or something like that.
Live action.
They used to have the Jickets. Remember the Jickets? The Jickets. It was
what
this
gang. Jickets?
The Jickets was this gang that Davey and his friends belonged.
Sounds
in,
offensive.
And they had this hat that looked like fake vomit on their head. It was.
Sounds terrible.
Oh. Their heads, they used to have the Jeep. And they always had like this Jeep they rode around in, and their heads were above the Jeep. Like when you put your G.I. Joe in one of your Jeeps and stuff like that when you were a kid, and G.I. Joe is, you know, heads way above it, and he would drive around like that. It's like, don't you have any idea of scale?
Okay.
No, it's what we used to play. Remember we used to play, you used to have like the little matchbox car, and you had that big Tonka cement mixer going the opposite way. And you go, hi, if that happened in real life, you'd be, holy shit, look at the size of that thing.
We do. The Prius and like a monster truck.
I know. It's like this 97-foot truck coming. Hi. I'd be like, holy shit. You know, it's like they're running around.
Yeah, that's kind of, well, we see that real life. So hearing the evidence that that Stern came up with, do you think he's Jewish?
He could be.
I know he could be, but what do you think?
Maybe, yes.
You think he is?
Yes.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you know, fortunately, Joe, as you see, we actually have Bugs Bunny with us.
Yes.
So, we're, you know, enough of us speculating.
Yes.
Let's do what good investigative reporters do when they have a cartoon issue of this sort.
Okay.
Let's interview Bugs Bunny.
You see, Mr. Bunny, we're going to find out if you're Jewish.
Mr. Bunny, please, Mr. Can I call you Mr. Bunny? Please, pay no attention to Joe.
All right, Doc, I'll write him off.
He's a smart rabbit.
That's right, Doc.
All right. All right, straight up, going to ask you, are you Jewish?
Yes, I'm from that tribe, Doc. I come from the Bowery.
Okay.
That's where they have the Bowery down there, Doc.
You know, well I mean, I thank goodness this article came out so you could answer this question.
I've always wanted to come out about that.
Well, it's not like you're a gay rabbit. I mean, don't make being Jewish sound like a homosexual, like we need to petition the Supreme Court.
Well, we were very friendly to the gays, Doc. We had that Monster's a very interesting people guy.
I didn't know he was gay.
Oh, he was. He did hair.
Bugs! That's very insensitive. Just because you do hair does not mean you're gay. Are you a homophobe, Bugs Bunny?
No, Doc, I didn't say that. But when you're going, monsters are interesting people doing nails. I mean, that's the point.
Hmm. Okay. But Popeye walked in for a second. I apologize, Mr. Funny. Hey, all right. Back to you, Bugs, because, you know, I know your time is limited. Being a Jew and all. a lot of Jews shortened their names in the 20th century in order to seem less Jewish. Is your last name is Bunny, at least that's what you go by. Is Bunny short for something?
Of course it is, Doc. It's Bunnystein.
Bunnystein?
Yes, Moish Bunnystein.
So Bugs isn't even your first name?
No, Doc. Hollywood gave me that name.
Interesting.
Amazing that it's all run by Jews, but that's what they gave me.
Okay. So anyway, it seems like Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam were always trying to shoot you.
Yes.
At least that's the way it was in a lot of the cartoons. Bugs, do you think it's because they were anti-Semites?
Of course, Doc. They were part of the Nazi Party.
They were part of the Nazi Party?
That's right, Doc. They were part of the Nazi Party.
Yosemite Sam. Well, I mean, Elmer Fudd was bald.
He was bald. That was the reason why. He was a skinhead, Doc. He was the first skinhead.
I did not know that.
And why did he talk with that voice? He was trying to hide his Nazi accent.
I did not know that.
Of course.
I feel so foolish for watching your cartoons with innocence. You all right there, Bucks? Been making out with Joe again, have you?
I had a little bit too much to smoke, Doc.
All right. So anyway, Bugs, your catchphrase is, what's up, Doc? Is that because your mother wished you would become a doctor?
Of course. My brother was a doctor. He was a proctologist. And my other brother was a gynecologist. And they always liked me because I was jumping into holes, but they always wanted me to be a doctor. So that's why I'm always saying, what's up, Doc? Because from coming from family gatherings.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Jews historically have used their smarts and wits to get them out of trouble. Is the fact that you're Jewish, is that why you use that way to get you out of trouble?
Of course, Doc. When
everything's of course. By the way, Bugs, I feel like an idiot. Because you say of course, Bugs. Like, we all knew this, and only this Stern guy was the only one smart enough amongst all of us people to figure this out. You're a little condescending, Bugs.
Well, yeah.
Like a typical Jew.
Of course, there you go. And every time Elmer Fudd would have his gun against me, I would say, of course, you know, Mr. Swanstein, and we would settle this out of court.
Oh, so you settled out of court.
And account all the time.
No, okay. Now, I do remember you being a very good pitcher in one of your episodes where you were taking on a whole team. Were you channeling your inner Sandy Koufax?
Obviously I was. And plus, I'm not paying for a whole team. I wanted to cut the payroll down. You think the Mets are cheap?
Yes. Yes, I do, Doc.
I'm a lot cheaper than the Mets. That was the Dodgers back then, Doc.
It was. okay. How come, I mean, since you've admitted to being Jewish, I gotta be honest, I'm a little offended. There was never a Bugs Bunny Hanukkah special.
No, they didn't want that. We wanted to keep everything on the down low.
Why, you think people would have had a backlash?
It was during the war. We didn't want any spies coming in and infiltrating the hole.
But you're still making movies today.
Well, that's the way it goes, but we'll come out one day.
I think you just did. Don't you know the dozens of people that listen to this show? do you know of other cartoon characters that are Jewish?
Aquaman is Jewish, Doc.
Aquaman?
Yeah, Aquaman is Jewish.
Really? I don't really see Jewish traits in Aquaman.
Oh, he loves Aquaman. He loves gefilte fish. That's his favorite fish. He swims around with that, Doc.
But gefilte fish isn't even a real fish. You would think Aquaman would know that before anybody.
I didn't say he was bright.
He is a blonde superhero. Ay vey. So, you don't wear a yarmulke. Is that because your ears get in the way?
Of course, but I cut holes out to put them in the yarmulke, but Elmer Fudd keeps blowing them off my head.
Damn Elmer Fudd. So, we have one of your contemporaries, Donald Duck, saying Heil Hitler. I'm going to play that clip for you, and then I'd like your reaction, Bugs. Hold on, let me cue this up. Let me play it. He's very adamant about this. What's your response to that? I mean, he's one of your contemporaries.
Well, he was, but he was known as Donald Deitz.
Donald Deitz?
Donald Deitz was as quiet. There was a lot of Nazis over in Disney World, Doc. That's why we stayed away from it at Warner Brothers.
So now there's still a lot of hate because Donald's still making movies.
Oh, yeah, there's still a lot of hatred. We got a couple of lawsuits in with Disney. But unfortunately, they're a lot bigger than Warner Brothers.
I did not know this.
Yeah, you ever see Donald Duck walk?
Yeah, I do see Donald Duck walk.
It looks a lot like Hitler, Doc.
But traditionally, when I saw him walk, I thought it was a duck step. You're saying it's more of a goose step.
That's more of a goose step, Doc. That was the whole thing. That's why you got to have your kids. But you can't just have your kids look at that stuff, Doc. You got to take a look at it.
Well, now I'm never going to look at it the same. All right. So Tom and Jerry cartoons, we just discussed this. I mean, you were down here for it. You obviously heard it. Tom and Jerry cartoons are now viewed as racist. Bugs, do you agree they were racist?
No, they weren't racist, Doc. They liked to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, my God, Bugs. Why are you cursing?
Because it's the truth, Doc. The truth. When you hit each other with an anvil, I mean, I was from that ilk that used to hit people with shovels. They love beating each other up.
So would you hit somebody with a shovel now?
Of course I would, Doc.
You're a violent rabbit.
No, I'm a rabbit.
I have had pet rabbits. I've never seen them hit each other with shovels. I don't really think that's a rabbit trait. I think that's a bad upbringing trait.
Ah, but that's a good slapstick comedy trait, Doc. You got to admit that.
I do admit that, Bugs.
And that's where comedy comes from.
So, well, I mean, hitting on the head is good, but I would say a shovel to the balls would be comedy gold.
Of course, Doc. Now, how long have you been working with Joe Curry? Wouldn't you like to take a shovel to his balls?
Sure, but he doesn't have them anymore.
Would you like to pink his pink tomato nose?
No. I don't want to go anywhere near his face.
Okay, I guess somebody hasn't seen some of my movies lately and don't know the reference.
I haven't seen Joe Curry's movies, no.
Nobody has, Doc.
Oh, you mean your movies, Bugs?
My movies.
You, one of your newer movies.
Joe Curry doesn't have movies. He can't even get a website up.
That's true about Joe Curry. I think we can both... I'm
out there.
What was that?
Nothing, Doc.
Were you clearing a...
I most certainly was. I got bronchitis too, Doc.
You
got
to stop making out with Joe Curry. Poor rabbit. You've been tainted. So your studio Warner Brothers came under fire as it was deemed by some that Speedy Gonzalez portrayed Mexicans in a negative way. What do you say to those allegations?
I think that's a lie, Doc. But Speedy Gonzalez was up to something. He was shuttling people across the border. That's why they called him Speedy.
So you're saying well, Speedy Gonzales was a mouse, but you're saying Speedy Gonzales, the mouse, was more of a coyote than Wile E. Coyote?
Exactly, Doc. He was shuttling people over the border tons at a time. That's why he was moving so fast.
Interesting.
Because Spanish people or Mexican people are usually generally characterized as slow. Speedy was fast, getting people to cross the border.
I don't think anybody but a racist would characterize Mexicans as being slow. Are you a little bit of a racist?
Well, Doc, I'm going with what I'm given.
No.
Mexicans have always been stereotyped that way.
I don't think so.
Yes, they have.
Why? Can you give me an example of where Mexicans have been stereotyped as slow? Oh, they're hard workers.
Well, do you notice they're always taking siestas?
Well, a lot of countries do that.
I know, but they're the closest one we got.
Okay. well, you can't argue with geography. What an odd interview. Well, one more question for you, Bugs, and I'm sure you have a whole bunch of other radio shows you must do interviews for, and you got to get that laryngitis cleared up. Wow. You know, Bugs, I only wish you were here for another bit that kind of went like this. Arabs on the arts. I really think you could have. Really
trust
think
me, this went better.
You're right. You've heard the show. All right. So on the other end of the spectrum, some have been unhappy with your pushing of interspecies love between Pepe Le Pew the skunk and Penelope Pussycat. Did Warner Brothers cross the line, and are they ahead of their time?
They were ahead of their time, Doc. That's why I'm getting so upset when they're saying that they're racist. That's why they got to have the skunk and the pussycat together there, making beautiful music.
Well, I don't think a cat in heat is beautiful music. Well,
you never been lonely, Doc. You never been lonely.
All right, well, Bugs, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Doc.
I got to say, I've seen your girlfriend. I don't know her name, but I've looked at her. She's very sexy. So, you know, I won't let my kid watch that because, you know, I don't want her to get the wrong impression of, you know, she walks in me doing unspeakable things to that rabbit girlfriend of yours. But way to go, Bugs.
Take care, Doc.
All right. And, well, you know, somebody wanted to record something for you, Bugs, so we're going to play this real quick. Well, Joe, what'd you think of that? You were very quiet on that.
Well, I think what I'm taken aback of is that they never mentioned that they were goofing on Porky Pig, a pig that had a stuttering problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And think about this. Picture Porky Pig trying to say Presbyterian.
Christian. That's true.
Yeah. You know what? Porky Pig trying to say Presbyterian. He couldn't do it.
That's, you know, I didn't think about that. It's almost like somebody should have brought that to my attention during show prep. That's a very good point, Joe. I almost wish you would have interjected with that.
I didn't think of it until you played the outro.
Oh, well, okay.
But we made it. It made it into the cut. See, it's not like I told you.
No, this is here for all eternity. There's no escaping this jam.
As much as we're going to duck our heads.
Well, as we learn, you can't judge a bird by its fowl. Yeah. All right. let's take our break and come back and maybe come back. I don't know after that. We'll come back. We'll do some scammery stuff.
Yes.
We'll visit with Ann Jackson. We'll visit my girlfriend Belinda, see what she's up to. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Unique and different by incorporating guest past and present experiences, The Kerry Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, and writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out our show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen live or check out past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Kerry Edelman. The Watson & Watson Show was born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussing passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WatsonandWatson.com.